Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 27 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. My name is VexX, joined as always with our host, Mr. Johnny Zero.
The people's hero. How's everybody doing out there?
Johnny Zero, we are 1 week away from the pay-per-view event, also known as the Memorial Crockett Cup.
I can't wait.
$1 million.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait. The team's coming down. I mean, it's been crazy here, folks. We've had teams coming in that we never even imagined we'd see before. I mean,
which is true. And now it started out with 80 teams. I'm not sure if you remember that correctly.
Yeah.
And now we have whittled it all the way down. Yeah. And we have a remainder of 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 20 teams remaining, 10 matches. Yep. It'll be an elimination at the Crockett Cup for the $1 million prize.
Cards always subject to change, folks. This is, remember, TV Dads Wrestling is real and people are fake. So, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I haven't seen a Crockett Cup since I was a kid, man. I mean, like, this is awesome.
This is a Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, to say the least. There's a special guest who's going to present the $1 million check at the end.
Yeah.
We don't know who that is yet. Any thoughts or theories on who that might be?
I don't know. I got to think it's maybe Perot's going to make a comeback. Maybe. Can he get out of the hospital bed? I know he's put in some kind of, some different things here and there. I've heard good things coming from the hospital room. I don't know. I'm speculating. That would
no,
be
No, it's a great
amazing,
idea. I don't know if that's real. You know what I mean? I don't want to start any false rumors on the internet or on Twitter or anything of that nature.
No, me either. But I mean, wouldn't that be great, though? That'd be great.
Sure. The little old man, roll him out, bag of bones. It'd be pleasant.
Yeah, he's great, man. How about... thanks.
<You're welcome.
laughs> Thanks a lot. I don't know. Who else? What are your ideas? Who would you suggest? I mean...
Well, it should be the first Bishop of Wrestling. I mean, everybody knows this. Now, he's in competition, so I find it fantastic that he could present himself with the $1 million payment.
Oh, my God.
Which would just be amazing.
Because
he's the greatest athlete today in modern sports entertainment.
What is that you're eating? Is that caviar?
Yes, sir, it is. It's quite fantastic.
Oh, my God. Dude. He can't present the thing if he's in the tournament.
Johnny Zero, look at your gold-plated microphone that you're speaking into right now.
Oh, God.
Your life is dramatically better because of our benefactor, the mighty Bloody Stash Corporation.
Oh, my God. Here we go. All right.
We have to cover some information.
Sure.
At the end of the last broadcast, we had the world's heavyweight champion, Charlotte Ingles, facing off against Corporal Punishment.
Charles Ingles.
Charlotte Ingles.
The heavyweight champion of the world.
At least
respect the champ, man.
What I want to stress to the listeners is they didn't hear what happened. They didn't see because they cut off, and then it went to
a
commercial, if you remember
correctly. Yeah. You got the footage?
It was a full draw.
Right.
Because TV time remaining, it ran out, and nobody had, like... the champion remains the champion because no one defeated the champion.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
is the bottom line.
But you gotta beat the man.
I think it's interesting that Corporal Punishment went the distance with that young lady, Charlotte Ingles.
Here we go. Can you please show the champion of the world some respect, man?
The first Bishop of Wrestling...
He defended his title
the
fair
true
and square.
Champion gets all the respect in the world you could imagine. But this... This fake champion, this transvestite hooker, I don't know.
What are you talking about? Since when is Mr. Brady a transvestite hooker?
Oh, no, that's Charlotte Ingles, sir.
No, it's not. The guy beat him in the ring. He made him tap, man. I mean, like, they should just have Ingles Brady, too. That's what I was thinking.
But Corporal Punishment went the distance. Out of any athlete who's in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, there's a guy. That guy went the distance.
Mr. Arnold is no joke, dude.
Mr. Arnold is no joke.
I mean, like...
Now, what I found interesting is that Neckbeard had bitten the gasoline... portion of the flamethrower. You remember that correctly.
Yes.
And gasoline sprayed over the animal. The animal escaped harm, but I believe there was some kind of allergic reaction to being doused in gasoline. Nobody lit the dog on fire, so that's a pleasant thing, I guess. But what are your thoughts on the neckbeard situation?
It's back home at the Ingles Ranch. I'm happy.
Did you just refer to the dog as it? Because if you think that dogs don't have souls and this is just a piece of trash, if you will, referred to as it, I don't support that, Johnny Zero.
All right, whatever, Mr. PC. You know that I love that boy. I've had that dog. I've feed him biscuits. I'm the only one that brings biscuits out here for him. What the hell are you talking about? I've taken him for walks when they had matches before.
That's true. I've seen that because you're waiting hand and foot on Charlotte Ingles because you're trying to get some of that
ass. I'm just taking a doggy foul, man. That's all. I don't have one. And
who let the dogs out? Woof. Woof, woof.
Oh, my God, dude. You're such a fucking dick.
So here we go. Crockett Cup, the real singles competition for that is you're going to have the El Duce, Bonaducci, is going to face off against the Tool Man. And that's going to be for the TV championship.
That should be.
That's like the creme de la creme. But just generally speaking, a bee in your bonnet, if you will, Corporal Punishment was not defeated by Charlotte Ingles.
What did you say? A bean in your bonnet?
A bee in your bonnet. Like,
I never heard that saying before.
Well, you're not very sophisticated. It's not your fault that you haven't traveled in circles that I've traveled in.
Well, as you enjoy your beluga. What is that? Beluga? Is that what that says?
Caviar.
Caviar. Yes, sir. And your little.
And my gold-plated spoon.
Is that a pink suit that you own? I don't know. Anyway, my point is, it looks like it costs more than my house. I'm just saying, but anyway, it's very loud, but it's also as loud.
But you're a tabloid reporter.
No, I'm not a tabloid reporter.
You don't understand phrases.
Everything I've came is, what is the, tell me the bee in a bonnet then.
Bee in your bonnet. It's just saying an idea for later, like a zzz buzzing around to be referenced at a later date.
That's cool.
I'm just putting a bee in your bonnet, sir.
Thank you.
Like, literally, that is probably a term from the 1930s, not unlike when my parents referred to jeans as dungarees, and I go to school at 8 years old and dressed down there, and I'm like, I'm wearing dungarees! And I got called disparaging remarks that we would call Charlotte Ingalls, like a homosexual, if you will.
That's cool. I never, in all seriousness, I never heard that before.
Again, not sophisticated, not your fault. You're a tabloid reporter.
I have a couple.
I mean, I have a couple.
We have a couple, too, but I just never heard that one before. Mine are more like, I guess, countrified, I guess.
You're antiquated and out of date and sad, frankly. So getting back to the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, Charlotte Ingalls is the defending World's Heavyweight Champion.
Ingalls, the heavyweight
but
champion
did not defeat Corporal Punishment, which is sincerely kind of amazing. Shocking, if you will. I felt that something negative was afoot when the blowtorch was being brought out. I'm sorry, the flamethrower being brought out by the Sheik.
Right.
Neckbeard put that right to end. There is no flamethrower. It's like at the shop getting repaired as we speak. There's still no flamethrower, which I find kind of amazing.
Well, I mean, who the hell brings a flamethrower to a match, dude? I mean, like,
fighting
world's champion.
Charlotte Ingalls brought a knife to a gunfight, and just fortunately,
it's a world championship. It's a fighting. It's a fight him in the ring.
You know, it's a different world now since Frank Reynolds assaulted and fired a loaded weapon at the Great Stashburg. Things have been radically different here in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, how's he doing, by the way? Do you hear anything about
him? Well, if you remember correctly, he had appeared last week. He still had his sling on. He had assisted the Nightmare. His handle defeat of the Living Dream.
Yeah.
If you remember that
correctly. Yes.
So it's Goodman. Goodman. ABC, the Roseanne show. Numbers are off the chart. Astronomical, if you will.
Yeah.
And here he is, the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, trying to make extra money, which is sad. It's sad, really.
Well, I mean, after, it's not like he's got the size, a good power wrestler. I mean,
and remember,
did the Babe Ruth movie.
You keep bringing that up.
That's so great.
Initially, though, he wasn't a sanctioned athlete, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just, he was there. He's a wealthy gentleman. He was watching the festivities.
So my question is, was he coming out of the audience because he was pissed off at what's going on? Or was he just hearing about what's going on, trying to make extra money, capitalizing on
it? The thing of it is, he's wealthy at this point because of the Roseanne resurgence, sincerely. So that gentleman doesn't need money at all.
Right.
He was here, and he had, like, ringside seat tickets because he's a wealthy gentleman.
Right.
And he didn't like what was happening, and I think it's erroneous, it's wrong, it's incorrect. He shouldn't be allowed to wrestle the TV Dads Wrestling. Now, he is a television dad, I'm not saying that.
Right.
But he went about it in a very backward fashion that I personally do not approve of.
Well, he must have gotten tired of seeing what he saw, but the fans have gone crazy, I can tell you that.
He is a fan favorite.
He is.
A lot of dumb people are into the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, and therefore their loyalty is misdirected at the Living Dream, a big fat guy who needs a mirror to see his cock.
What are you talking about? Memphis, Tennessee.
You know that.
Oh, my God. You hear this guy?
It's true.
Oh, stop it, man.
The irony is that John Goodman is a wealthy entertainer and an actor. He is not from
Memphis, Tennessee. What's wrong? What's wrong with Tennessee, man?
It's backwards, sir.
Dude, I don't know if you've been down there. Have you been down there much? Lately?
More than you. Sincerely, more than you.
Probably.
Have you been to the Gibson Factory in the middle of Nashville, Tennessee?
No, I have not.
It's pretty amazing.
I have not.
It was in a
movie. I've had work done there, but I haven't been there.
But I've had work done there?
Yeah, I believe so.
You had tapes flown out?
No, the Gibson shop, the customs.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, that's all over the country. There's one in Pennsylvania.
I believe it's the one in Tennessee.
That's a sales place. And I've been there, and I've seen it, and it's kind of staggering, kind of amazing. I'll tell you what's more impressive, if I want to be honest with you. We're going off on a tangent. I apologize.
Yeah.
There is a guitar center on Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
That has a massive, nearly three-story room underneath of it, you take stairs down into the basement.
Cool.
Where you'll have a 2 or 3 story wall with the most expensive guitars probably ever sold.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And you can't get to them unless you have like the special hook and all this stuff. And I've seen a $1 million guitar there. When the Eagles used to, like, when they were a big deal in the early 80s, they would go there to get gear.
The band.
Yeah, I saw in person, I saw Weird Al Yankovic in that room once.
Wow,
cool. I used to frequent there. They had them at the time. The Guitar Center on Sunset Boulevard is very famous. Now, there's a Sam Ash across the street, which is ironic.
Right.
But the Rock Walk of Fame has Lemmy's fingerprints and Black Sabbath footprints and all that shit. And it's like the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but it's rock and roll.
It's a
phenomenal place.
The Rock Walk.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And my point being that their collection is far superior to the Gibson Factory.
Wow.
Or the Gibson, at least the Gibson.
Either one would be amazing to me.
I've seen them both, thank goodness. But I've been to Nashville, Tennessee, and I walked it, and it was cool. Wow. And there's a movie. Will Ferrell's in this movie. I can't think of the title of it. It's sad. RP. You should probably look it up for us. But he's in a movie, and Stranger Than Fiction is the name of the movie. Thank you, RP. I appreciate that. So the name of the movie is Stranger Than Fiction, and it's set in Nashville.
Right.
And they show him going to Gibson to buy a guitar.
Right.
And I've seen it, and it's like this walkway.
Yeah.
And there's 7 or 8 windows, and the Gibsons are just in the windows. And then you turn the corner, and there's more 7 or 8 windows. And it's like this awesome corner display. And I saw it in that film, and I've been there in person. I bought a guitar strap because I had to buy something.
Yeah, right, sure,
but of
man.
Course I couldn't That'd afford,
be,
you
dude,
know.
Dude, I'd want to like live there, dude. That'd be awesome.
Well, it's weird. Nashville, Tennessee, like, you know how South Street has Philadelphia? I'm sorry, Philadelphia has South Street.
Yeah, I love South Street, too.
They have a South Street, but it's like 50 bars in a row.
Yeah.
And every bar has a stage.
I played there.
And there's a glass window where you can see who's playing inside of every bar as you walk by.
It's pretty cool.
It is kind of cool, actually.
But just to be in a room with like all those guitars like that, dude, I would.
Better collection, sincerely, is Guitar Center.
Just like make me a tent, you know what I mean? Like a sleeping bag. I love that. There used to be a Gibson. I found this old, I had a 1955 Les Paul Custom with the Bigsby Tremolo.
Bigsby Tremolo.
Yeah, yeah. There was actually not put on there. And, it was licensed. So, but the guy had left it up in his like attic or something, right? And
it's neck bowed.
And I worked all summer long to get just enough money for it. And plus, it was a friend of a friend and blah blah blah. Well, I got that one, and then they gave me. I saw he had his own Les Paul there, and it came with a, you know, they come with like a booklet like from Gibson.
Sure.
And they had an actual. It was a Les Paul, but the actual guitar, the body of it is shaped like. The United States of America is on a map. You know what I mean? And it's like tan and it's wood stain. It was so beautiful. So I called them to try and get one. You know what I mean? Like it's all tan, natural. This isn't. It's like the actual American flag. And they didn't have it for sale. So I ended up calling them to like, hey, does this blah blah blah? And they found the one that they actually. There is a guitar like that. They just didn't ever put it out public. It just was never produced for the public. So anyway.
Oh, it was in the book. I get it now.
Yeah, yeah.
So you never got the 55 Gibson?
No, I didn't. Couldn't afford it.
Very expensive guitar now. Yeah, especially now. The 59s are worth over $1 million.
I had to buy it myself, so I didn't. I was just a kid. So, but Yeah.
All right. Back to the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. My goodness, Johnny Zero going off in radical directions.
What are you?
Again, back to the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. Corporal Punishment is the number one contender, in my humble opinion, for the World Heavyweight Championship against Charlotte Ingles. Secondly, tonight, featuring on this very program, we will have Cop Lives Matter, which features Griffin. Is that his name?
Was it Glenn or Griffith?
Griffith. What's his first name?
Andy
Griffith.
Sheriff.
The Jackal, Barney Fife the Knife.
Yes. Yep.
And the Judge, Frederick Wynn, are going to have a 3-man tag team match tonight on this very program.
Awesome.
To kind of, you know, hype up the Crockett Cup, if you will. The Memorial Crockett Cup $1 million tournament.
Yep.
We're going to have the Mighty Luchadors teaming up with Dr. Jason Seaver, no longer the face.
Yeah, no longer. He's now the heel. I saw some of his work in Haiti. He's down there. He's beating up like bowling shoe salesmen and anything he can.
Did you just say he's a bowling shoe salesman?
No, he's beating. I saw him beat up.
I misunderstood.
A bowling shoe salesman. Oh, and he's growing a Fu Manchu mustache.
No.
Yes.
About it, tell me.
Yeah. he's like totally sold out, dude. Like
sold out.
Yeah.
Perhaps the physician bought in.
Sold out. Oh, bought in. How many interviews did you have to read to come up with that clever one? Give me a break, man.
Now, for our listening audience, what I want to do at this time is I'm going to read off the competitors that are still remaining for the TV Guide's $1 million Crockett Memorial Cup competition. The number one team, or the number one seed currently, is the World Heavyweight Champion Charlotte Ingles and his team partner, the working man James Evans. They will be facing off against the World's Heavyweight Tag Team Champions of the Militants, which features the Duke of Chicago, J.J. Evans,
yes,
and his brother, Michael Evans.
Yes, that team should be.
That is the number one match. That's the number one seed. You have the World's Heavyweight Champion and his partner, which is ironic, the Militants' actual father, facing off against the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions of the Militants. Yes. How do you think that'll shake out?
I gotta go with. I'm gonna go with Ingles and Evans.
Of course you are, because you're a fanboy.
Listen, no, it's not. It's not about any. I'm not. I'm like you. I'm not biased in my journalism. I'm just saying it just makes sense. Michael's young and he's smaller, and Jay, like, the Duke of Chicago's gotten bigger, but I just think that the power is overwhelmingly on Evans and Ingles.
I want you to watch something. Are you ready?
Don't you think?
I want you to watch me do this.
But look at the total combined weight of the tag teams. I mean, they outweigh them by 100 pounds.
I'll give you that because Ingles is retaining a lot of water because that transvestite is a,
oh God,
a pudgy
man.
Bitch.
He beat your
the
boy,
second match
Baron Square.
Of the evening will be Shipwrecked, the former World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, by the way, facing off against the Rhinestone Cowboys, which are definitely my favorite to win the competition. The Rhinestone Cowboys feature the first Bishop of Wrestling, Michael Brady, and his partner, Lamont Sanford. For my money, the Rhinestone Cowboys are the favorite. The real Frankensteins will face off against the Royals, the former World's Heavyweight Championship tag teams. They were the first ever World Tag Team Champions, the Royals. Now, Mr. Cosby's embroiled currently in a fucking situation where he's on trial, so yep. I'm not even sure completely if he's able to fucking compete.
Have they been in active competition since the trial began? Like, very much, or...
Well, and obviously, yes, because they were part of the 80 original teams that broke down into this. So, yes, they have been in competition.
Right. But, I mean, like, were they prepared? I mean, it has to have taken a toll on the man, this whole...
I can't speak on that.
You know, the stress of all that. Anyway, I'm just speculating.
The next match of the evening is Urban Folklore facing off against Michael Knight and Stashberg, the Dream Stash Team.
And there's another Dream Team there, Archie Bunker and Fred Sanford.
That's a good point. They're old, though. Like, if they weren't so ancient, I would say they'd probably be able to out, because Michael Knight and Stashberg are a new tag team, and Urban Folklore has been together since the beginning of time. So the thing of it is, I don't know.
Don't. There's an old saying, every great champion still has one great fight left in them, right?
I don't agree with that saying. The Mighty Luchadors facing off against Corporal Punishment. Corporal Punishment featuring, of course, Mr. Arnold and his team partner, the Sheik, who used to be
the Sheik.
I don't know.
Word the Cleaver. Yeah. He went from being let's say, he was pretty much an inferred Nazi almost.
Inferred Nazi.
You know, and now he's an inferred radical Islamic terrorist.
The next match would be against Gomez Adams and Al Munster facing off against JR and Bobby Ewing.
Yes. Oh, that'd be a good one.
I think so, too.
That'd be a good match.
The Beaver and Wally Cleaver facing off against the Mack Truck, Bernie the Mack Truck, and the Lost Cunningham brother. They don't even write his name. Johnny Zero, they don't even write his name. He went upstairs at the end of the broadcast, and he never was seen from again. Is he the living dead, sir?
Absolutely. Grady was on site and used the puffer fish dust and balloon in his brain, in his ear, and they put him down to Haiti and buried him alive, and he took him out. Alice Serpent and the Rainbow, if you've seen that film. And that's a really good tag team, by the way. They're really good. Remember, he was a great athlete, dude, too. And so is Mack Truck Bernie.
The Lost Cunningham guy was definitely a great athlete.
Absolutely.
So now, additionally speaking, is we have Joan Ritter and John Goodman facing off against Jamie and Ted Bundy. No longer the Lawson family. They are now the Bundys.
Yeah. I think they're going to get... It's going to happen in one of these cars in one town somewhere. The Lawson Bundy clan, whatever you want to call them, they're going to get theirs.
What I find odd is that Joan Ritter is a female wrestler, and she's competing with John Goodman.
What are you talking about?
Joan Ritter.
Who's Joan?
Joan Ritter.
You're reading that wrong, bud.
I believe it's Joan Ritter.
That's John Ritter. John Ritter.
The hero at
God
Marge.
God rest his soul.
The hero at Marge, Joan Ritter.
Yeah, whatever, man. Whatever, dude.
A dark horse in the competition that a lot of people on the internet have been saying could really run away with everything is the Black Magician, Stephen Keaton, and Wild Thing, John Lithgow, facing off against Cop Lives Matter, which is Griffin and Fife. Griffith and Fife.
I think they could also put Gwyn in there. You never know.
It's true. It is interchangeable as a team.
Card subject to change. I don't How do you see that one unfolding? What do you think? Be serious, though.
Well, Lithgow's bizarre. Very powerful.
Yes.
Very powerful.
Yeah, freakish.
If it's a straight up, and here's the thing.
With tart strength.
Cop Lives Matter could pull a fast one. I could see them. I can't believe you said that. I could see Cop Lives Matter doing something illegal, if you will. However, the Black Magician has magic and smoke bombs, and he can reappear and disappear like a ninja.
Yeah.
And Lithgow is out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, I think anybody with Lithgow, it depends on what Lithgow you're getting, though. You know what I mean? Like,
Wild Thing is Wild Thing. That's the beautiful part. You
don't know
who you're getting.
I know. Yeah.
Now, the final match of the evening, and this is only the first round. I want to stress that to everyone.
Sure.
This is just the first round.
Sure.
Is that 70s tag team, which is Winkler and Red Foreman, Henry Winkler and Red Foreman, facing off against Tony Soprano and Hitman Danza. I got to be honest. I see that the Springer Mafia is going to destroy that 70s tag team.
I don't know. Not,
explain.
I do too.
Okay,
I do too. But I'm saying Red Foreman has, you know, he has been banned and stuff, and
he's back.
What's a Crockett Cup?
But what I find ironic is that the gentleman who reactivated him and let him back into wrestling is now his tag team partner. So Henry Winkler feels badly because when they used to be, they were, if you remember the inauguration broadcast when there was no federation to speak of, that was one of the first matches.
Yeah, and it's not a Fonzie. This is not Fonzie Winkler.
No, this is Henry Winkler.
Yeah.
He would get knocked unconscious or fall off the thing.
Maybe he breaks a nail.
Or he'd pull his fucking groin. And the bottom line is Red's in the middle of the ring with whoever the fuck he's with, and get beat to a pulp.
I love Henry Winkler, but I think he should just be the Fonz.
It was never through any fault of Winkler's own. It's just circumstances were beyond his control, and unfortunately, that's what happened, Johnny Zerbe.
Yeah, that could be good. I think that as a tag team, just that controversy you just mentioned makes them makes their teamwork suspect, in my opinion, before the matching begins.
And I want to stress to everyone the creme de la creme. The ultimate main event in this gigantic Crockett Cup Memorial Tournament, $1 million prize, will be the crowning of a new World's Heavyweight TV Champion.
Yeah. Yep.
That will be defended weekly on television. We missed that. That used to be a cornerstone of the broadcast.
Absolutely.
Now, who's your money going for? Who do you think is going to be the next World's TV Champion?
I got to go with Bonaducci.
Do you really?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so.
Now, Bonaducci is a bit of a madman.
Yeah.
He was kind of there for the loss of
Very
Bud
good in the ring, man.
Oh, he's a fantastic athlete.
Very good worker.
And I can't believe I'm going to say these words, but this drug addict is no joke.
Tim Allen is no joke.
And if he does a whole bunch of cocaine
and
gets in the ring, he's like, woo! And like cocaine strength is just crazy.
Oh, man. You'd be too. Come on.
Maybe
man.
He does meth. If you do, they call it wet. I don't know what that drug is called, but you PCP. If you ingest the PCP, pain doesn't affect you.
I wouldn't know.
Because your nerve centers aren't, you know, working at that time. They've been lightly drugged, and you can come into the ring and be unstoppable. Like police officers in the 80s used to shoot a PCP gentleman, he would pop right back up.
Oh, I saw that on TV. Where the guy, like, I know what you're talking about.
So, and this guy has a drug
history.
TV
show I've seen.
So this could be a very unique and wild, crazy situation.
Yeah, well, Tim Allen is like, he works, I would say, on par with an Arn Anderson.
Now, this is breaking news that I have to express to everyone in the TV Dads Wrestling Land, all the fans, during the podcast. Do you know who the special referee is for the World TV Championship?
No, I don't.
The newly reinstated The Heckler.
Oh, that's right.
My goodness.
Oh, boy.
My goodness.
I would think he would be. He's already had something to do with trying to frame Tim Allen's career before.
Totally accurate in your sentence. I think it's a diabolical scheme.
Yeah.
The Springer Mafia pulling the strings from behind closed doors because he's hiding because of the whole thing with the legal ramifications of Bud Bundy dying in the ring, the gunshot situation. He's just absconded, but he still has appointed The Heckler as the special referee.
I wouldn't be surprised if the entire ring, by the time the lights came on, had like, you know, Heckler House stuff everywhere. I don't know, man. I don't trust that guy. I wouldn't trust him for Bonaducci, though, either. if you think about it.
There is no love lost there.
That's what I'm
Bonaducci
saying.
Bonaducci did not appreciate the heckler's house. Bonaducci's pit, like they were in direct competition. So it's a colorful referee, to be completely honest. He has issues with both athletes.
Very colorful, yeah.
What if he comes out of it and somehow he's the TV champion? Could you imagine the madness?
That would be crazy, but he would have to be... there's a tournament that's come down. There's a tournament, right? That they can.
Oh, of course they battle. Yeah. They battle through. This is like elimination.
Well, then he's.
You never know in the world of Springer. You never know. Now,
yeah, that's true.
Ross Perot has been vacant for a very long time since the plane went down.
Yep.
And things have definitely run amok. And Springer was more or less appointed in some capacity by our fearless leader Ross Perot.
Yes.
But you know, and then remember we had the whole thing where we had to read the programs, and there was like advertisements, and just, it's a crazy time.
Tattoo sabotaging the plane before it left it.
You know, it's never been substantiated.
It has been substantiated.
It's Tattoo from Fantasy Island, who Johnny Zero has decided, because he's a tabloid reporter.
I'm not a tabloid reporter. They gave us a tape, videotape. We saw it.
They. You know, my entire life, Johnny Zero, I've heard about them, these people called they. Who are they exactly?
I don't know. You were sitting right here at the table.
Name your sources, Johnny Zero.
There was no source.
In a world of Photoshop and... recordings being tampered with.
That's
and
true.
Things of that nature.
That's true.
We do not definitively know unless we saw with our own eyes.
That's true. I agree 100% with that. But if it hadn't have been, the tape hadn't been locked on the disc or whatever, hadn't been dropped off here while we were live on the air together.
Again, it could have been tampered with. Now, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we're going to take a brief commercial interruption.
Yeah.
Let our sponsors do their thing. When we return, we are going to have a 6-man tag extravaganza.
I can't wait. Stay with us, folks.
Welcome back to episode number 27 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. My name is VexX, along with Mr. Johnny Zero.
People's Hero, how you doing, man? I'm ready to go to the ring for some action. Here we go, fans, and you hear the
ladies and gentlemen,
the newly appointed sheriff
coming to the ring.
Andy
Griffith, Fife the Knife, Frederick Wynn, Cop Lives Matter.
Wow, look at that. Look at the drool coming from Fife, the jackal's eyes. Unbelievable. Griff looks terrifying, dude. His boots go up to his, like, how far does his boots go up to? His knees? 8 feet tall?
I couldn't speak on it specifically.
Wow. Unbelievable. And do they have the Dobermans with them?
Oh, you know what that means, don't you? Coming to the ring is the Mighty Luchadors and their tag team partner, Dr. Jason Seaver.
Unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Lopez.
From Hollywood, California, the Mighty Luchador.
Unbelievable.
And Dr. Jason Seaver.
Seaver's looking a little bit different than the last time we've seen him on that
That's
tour.
That's a radical transformation. Now, is that the first Bishop of Wrestling on his t-shirt? Is that who that is?
I believe it is.
You know, the man, I got to admit it, has good taste.
He apparently went to his tour of Puerto Rico and Haiti and the Caribbean or the Caribbean Association down there. And he's come back a different man. He's got a Fu Manchu mustache.
Now, the referee's explaining the rules to the partners. This is a unique situation, Johnny Zero. This is a 6-man tag situation. So, as soon as the referee's done, they're going to, I'm sure, ring the ring bell, and then we're going to begin this competition. What are your thoughts at this time?
Ricky Ricardo is one of the best workers in the world, hands down. But overall, as a team, you got the power of the giant on the other side. So, I don't know. I mean, it depends.
The giant's a bad man. He's the original. Longest ever TV champion in wrestling.
And I don't, something's going on with, I don't know, the chemistry between Lopez and Ricardo just hasn't been the same lately. I don't know, call me crazy, it's just my speculation. I can just see the way they're working. But they're a great tag team. But Ricardo is definitely the better of the two. This is a top 5 worker in the world, any day and anywhere. But anyway, keep going. He's got his capoeira.
No, I hear you. I can't disagree with that synopsis, but you're kind of minimizing, in my humble opinion, the workmanship and the craft of, his partner. Like, why would you feel that way exactly? Why is he the dominant of the two?
Because I watch all those matches, and really, I don't want to.
Do you feel, again, the ring bell hasn't rung yet. He's just speaking. Does he carry the team? Is it really his team?
What do you call it? He's the gelding of the bunch?
I don't even know what that means.
Anyway, he's just not as good as Ricky Ricardo, man. I mean, it's just, like, obvious. You would think, okay, he could say, like, he's the more power guy, Like it's like
George Lopez is a scrappy.
I'm not saying
there's
he isn't.
There's a joke. Now we're on a podcast, so I'm going to make a joke to you.
He's not as good as Ricky Ricardo.
Okay, you talk over me. Yeah. I'll wait.
But I just think that's what I think. I think that he's better as a worker in the
ring. Back to my joke.
Yeah.
Whenever George Lopez delivers a punchline, he does this. You know what I'm saying? Where he does like the eagle look with his eyes. Like that's his punchline. Just to let you know, it's time to laugh. So he's a bit of a hacky comedian, in my humble opinion. Johnny Zero, I think they're going to ring the bell.
Yeah, I think that's... I like George.
All right, here George we go. Now, they're putting Barney, the Knife Fife, the Jackal, in the ring, and he's facing off against Dr. Jason Seaver.
Why is he drooling?
But Dr. Seaver's wearing a First Bishop t-shirt. This is amazing.
And he's getting froth from the mouth of the Jackal all over it.
Oh, they lock up. They lock up. Look at that. A test of strength, if you will, in the center of the ring. Two tiny gentlemen facing off.
It looks like Fife is going to lowball him in between the legs.
Oh, he hit him in the package, if you will. Right in the nuts, Johnny Zero.
He brings him over to the corner. He's tagging in the Giant.
Oh, Frederick Wynn. He picks him up by the neck and slams him into the ring.
Choke slam. After coming over the ring over the top rope, by the way.
So amazing.
He's so big.
So amazing.
He's so big. So giant. He's Irish whipping him into the corner. The big boot.
Right in the face.
The big size 28.
He ain't pretty no more, Rock.
Yeah, the big size 28 across the cheek.
At one time, this was the face, Jason Seaver, but he just got kicked in the face by the Giant, Frederick Wynn, also known as Herman Munster. Oh, shit, he saw me. I'm sorry, Mr. Munster. I apologize.
Whoa, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
If I've offended you, sir. What are you going to do?
Holy shit, dude.
He's famous for being Herman Munster, and here he is in wrestling.
He won't.
Won't do it. And the real Frankensteins had quite the career, and he left all that money on the table.
He didn't want
it. Because he has to work with law enforcement. It's very sad. Wait,
you heard what happened. We'll go to that after this match.
He tags in Barney Fife yet again. Barney Fife is back in the ring, and he's unloading, and he's punching poor Jason Seaver straight in the face, boxer style, and Seaver goes right out of the ring onto the floor.
Unbelievable.
And Gwynn is on the floor, picks him back up, throws him back in the ring. Barney Fife drops an elbow in the chest and locks up, and he's working on that lower extremity of his
body. He's got to hit a hot tag here soon. Got to hit a hot tag.
Chomping at the bit of the luchadors, the Mighty Luchadors in the corner. They can't get in to save their partner. This is amazing.
Well, Seaver whips him into the rope. Seaver dives underneath. He's rolling over. He makes a tag.
Oh, he's got the tag. House of Fire,
Ricky Ricardo.
Ricky Ricardo, cleaning house.
Going in there, doing the best he can. It looked like Lopez wanted the tag. What's up with the local Lopez's face?
What is that? He looks angry.
I told you, man.
They're a tag team.
What the hell is that all about? Why is George Lopez pissed off at Ricky Ricardo?
Now, Johnny,
one of my favorite tag teams.
We had just the ring cleared. The ring has been cleared by Ricardo? I don't know what you call him.
The Mighty Luchadors.
Why is Lopez now off of the ring apron and just standing on the floor looking at the ring? What is happening?
I don't know. He's got his...
What is in that man?
I have no idea. He's got his hands on his waist like he's just... He's got a...
He's banging on the ring apron. What is his problem?
I don't know. He wanted the hot tag? I don't know.
Oh, John, now Ricky Ricardo has his back turned. Frederick Wynn clotheslines him from behind Johnny Zero. Oh, that's awful. More like a bulldog, if you will.
Yeah.
And, he wraps him up, and he put him in a sleeper hold in the center of the ring.
Oh, Relin Pega.
This is awful, sir.
Yeah, the Lightning Kid, not Lightning Kid, but the...
Ricky Ricardo is in the sleeper hold in the center of the ring by Frederick Wynn. He can't tag anything. He's being pulled back over towards the corner.
In that corner. He's got to get out of that corner, Ricky. Come on. Get out of that corner, man.
The referee breaks the hold. Ricky got the ropes. And unloading on him is Barney Fife, the Knife.
The Jackal.
When the referee's back is turned.
Is that a foreign object?
Griffith hasn't even gotten to the ring at this point.
Have you seen how vicious Barney Fife
is? He's an angry, angry little man.
He's drooling. He's is he wearing like contacts that make your eyes all white?
Now, I don't know if you know this, but in the interviews, he's been talking very badly about Joan Ritter because Joan was a homosexual who used to be on the show Three's Company.
Why is that?
And Barney Fife was the landlord. He was tricked into letting this man live there. He thought it was a woman, you know.
Jack Tripper wasn't gay.
But he's a homosexual, obviously.
Not that it matters. Why does everything go back to
the thing of it is, so Barney Fife has been talking very, very violently in the interview process about your friend Joan Ritter.
Well, that could be it. Maybe he'll have a match or something. I have no idea. Mr. Furley, because he did play Mr. Furley.
They finally tag in Andy Griffith, who goes into the ring and goes to work. He goes to work on the face. Yeah, the face of our
hero. Now, is he making a scene of himself to get some BSC support out here?
I couldn't speak. You know, try to ask him. He's right there. I mean, ask him if you can.
Hey,
I might not suggest it. Oh, that's okay.
I can't really get a question right now. They're just
Now Ricky Ricardo's in the center of the ring. He's having his upper body worked on handily by Andy Griffith. And here we go, Johnny's.
Unbelievable. Andy Griffith's a great worker, good wrestler,
a scientific wrestler, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't put him in the same class as the other guys, but you know, it is what it is. He's definitely for Law and Order. Nothing really spectacular about it, but he's going to work on his opponent there.
George Lopez is still on the floor. He is not on the ring apron.
Why doesn't he jump in the ring and, like, break some of this up?
I don't know.
You know, like, make a... I mean,
now, Seaver's beat up. I can understand Seaver sitting there. He's holding the tag rope. He's just patiently waiting, but he's got worked over pretty heavily.
Yeah.
Johnny Zero, George Lopez has left. He's leaving the ringside area and going backstage. Perhaps he's going to get a weapon of some sort. I don't know why he has left the ring.
If he's even doing that, why is he walking so slowly?
I don't know.
The fuck is that all about?
This is highly suspect.
It is very suspect.
Now, Fred Gwynn in his gigantic presence is trying to bother the referee. Barney Fife has slipped around the bottom of the ring, and there he is. He pulls Mr. Seaver off of the ring apron, and I can't see what's happening on the other side of the ring, Johnny.
Looks like Fife's got a weapon of some sort. I don't know if it is a knife. Unbelievably, I don't know what it is. Some kind of object. I can't tell what it is from this angle.
Oh, he ain't pretty no more.
Unbelievable.
I don't understand what's happening.
Unbelievable, dude. That's
Jason Seaver now is laying on the floor. He's off the ring apron. The partner has left, and poor Ricky Ricardo in the center of the ring.
Well, Ricky Ricardo's a great worker, but that's a pretty tall order going against
Andy
Griffith.
He tags in Barney Fife. Now, Barney Fife's covered in blood. Johnny Zero, Barney Fife is covered in blood, and he starts working.
Is that his blood, or is that somebody else's blood?
I feel like he sliced up Seaver's face. I don't really know exactly.
Yeah, looks like it. Looks like
a tricky situation indeed, sir.
Doesn't look like it's bleeding. It's not from the forehead or the places that bleed most.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am so sorry. We have to take a short commercial interruption. Please bear with us. We'll be right back.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is episode number 27 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. Now, in the center of the ring, Ricardo has regained his strength. He knocked the giant off the apron. He knocked Andy Griffith off the apron, and he now has...
He's fighting a one-man war,
Barney
folks.
Fife tied up in the center of the ring.
The jackal.
And he's trying to get him in a grapevine, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's successful. He has him locked. Mm-hmm. It's loaded.
Abdominal stretch. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Got him in a abdominal stretch, and...
Barney is covered
Ricardo
in blood.
Is just so good, man.
Now, George Lopez is coming back. He's coming back from the backstage area.
Get in here, man. Will you?
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Unbelievable. Is he carrying a chair with him? Is that what's going on?
He's back on the ring apron, and he's here to represent his team, the Mighty Luchadors, who are a favorite, if you will, to compete next week in the $1 million Memorial Crockett Cup.
Well, Ricardo's got needs a tag, man. I mean, he's fighting the Giant
Seaver's
wrestling.
Nowhere to be found at this point.
Yeah, well, I think he's over there. He's got somebody's covering his face.
All right, there's a tag. There you go. And he hops in the ring, and George Lopez, a house of fire, if you will, taking over, beating up Barney Fife, throwing him into the rope. Yeah. He throws him over the top rope, Johnny. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. Johnny Zero. Oh, my God. No,
what's
stop. Barney Fife over the top rope. The referee has rung the bell. I believe the Luchadors would have been disqualified, Johnny. I don't know. Let's hear what the ring announcer has to say.
I guess during the Crockett Cup rules, I got it.
They're going to lower the microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner by disqualification, Cup Lives Matter.
That's bullshit, man. Dude, Ricardo had it won, man. I just needed a little help, man.
Lopez did return into the ring. He tagged him. They're having a bit of a spat. Johnny, can you try and get over there? They're discussing it in great detail. Yeah. But Lopez and Ricardo are kind of discussing the situation at hand.
What's going on with
What's
that?
Happening What's with Jason Seaver? He's kind of been beat up.
Know,
he's on the floor.
That's too heated, bro. I'm not getting near that. I don't know what they're going there. It looks like they're making up. That was a teaser. I don't know. Maybe... Hey, man, everything happens, man. If you're on the road, think about they've been through.
And there's the theme music, Johnny Zero. The winner is Cop Lives Matter.
That's it. But, I mean, these guys have traveled all around the world and stuff, so
everybody's
leaving
the ring
or something
at this point.
But Jason Seaver's just laying there in a puddle of blood. What exactly has happened to Mr. Seaver?
I don't know. This guy's work down in the other promotions and
stuff. Well, you said he was in Haiti competing handily.
Yes, he was. He's looking to get signed. He wants to get into the with your benefactor. He wants to be in the Bloody Stash crew. And, he's turned heel and he's changed. He has gotten better in the ring, though. I mean, but it looks like he's no longer going to be called the face. Was he?
Johnny Zero, that was a low blow.
I wonder if, because you know how corrupt Barney the Jackal is.
Yes, I do.
I wonder, it makes one speculate if Mr. Brady didn't give him money to do that because he was thinking about using him. He always needs new...
Why do you say these words?
I'm just saying because maybe he's jealous of his him being the face, because Brady is a self-proclaimed
face. Well, if you remember, there was a reconstructive
surgery.
He tapped
like a bitch.
There was reconstructive surgery on the face's face before. Do you remember that situation?
Yeah, a little while
ago. Yeah. Skin grafts and things of that nature.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's just sad. Seaver doesn't really compete very often, and when he does, he's more or less becoming a jobber, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But his work down in Haiti is pretty good. I don't know
how what you tell me. Like, how the fuck do you go to Haiti? I don't even see you in Haiti. You're here all the time with me.
It's really great. It's great. He owns his own promotion from Fred Sanford. He owns his own promotion down there, dude.
Now, Johnny Zero, there's breaking news. I'm getting an email across my screen that Frederick Gwynn is making his way around the back of the dressing room area, and Gomez and Al Munster are playing cards. Can you go back and maybe see what's going on?
Yeah, sure,
with
sure. Stay with
it's
me.
It's Grandpa Al Munster.
I'm going to wear my earpiece here. All right. Looks like Herman is going through the
steel doors.
Okay. These guys, there's a bunch of Dobermans. There's Dobermans there, dude. And it's Mr. Big is leading them down there. Looks like they've got them all on leashes.
Oh, okay. For security measures. I understand.
Yeah. Okay. And did you hear that?
I did hear that.
He just kicked open the door and, oh, shit, man. Oh, what the fuck is going on?
What's happening, Johnny?
Dude, looks like Gomez and...
Fuck!
What, Johnny? Tell the people what's happening.
Well, he just picked up. He's just kicked open a door. It looked like Al Munster and Gomez were just playing cards, man.
Now, didn't they have a feud years ago when you had the whole Adams family facing off against the Munsters on television?
Holy shit, man! Is he all right?
Oh my goodness, what's happening?
Dude, looks like Gomez and Grandpa have been both choke slammed Grandpa twice.
Holy shit, leave that man alone. What the fuck?
Grandpa was the manager.
Leave him alone, man.
He was the previous manager of the Giant, Frederick Gwynn.
What the fuck, dude? What the fuck is going on, man? They had benches between the locker rooms. They're wooden. And he chokeslammed both of them through. He took them both at the same time and slammed them, the Giant, through the wooden. I can't believe this. They're going
to. Somebody call an ambulance, will you?
Johnny, what's happening?
Try to have a fucking podcast.
What is happening?
Call a fucking ambulance, man. Really, what the fuck? I don't know, dude. I have no idea. Like, I get more on it later. I don't know. It looks like they were having. It was like Al Munster, and Grandpa were in there, and they must have had there's an old beef between the Munsters and the Addams family.
No, I know about that. That's true.
Yeah, yeah, and it goes back years ago, and maybe they were settling it off. I have no idea, but from what I looks like, they had let bygones be bygones, buried the hatchet. Just a couple old guys having good guys having a playing cribbage or something. You know what I mean? Like.
So what you're saying is that these two factions who had battled for decades for TV supremacy in reference to a haunted comedy were just hanging out and just mending bridges and being cool with each other.
Well, from what I understand, they had gotten into it at first because they didn't. There was some old beef. I have no idea.
Okay.
It goes back to like the 50s or 60s or something or whatever. And they got Gomez and Herman Munster and Grandpa got into it. And I think one likes Karloff, one likes Lugosi.
Okay,
some kind of the thing going back there. I don't know what it has to do with it, but That's between them. You know, they're consummate professionals. I, you know, that's not my business.
But why would Frederick Wynn care? And then they just won the match, so why did he come back and throw a temper tantrum? What is happening in the TV Dad's wrestling?
I have no idea, man. All I know is that Herman has used his position as... I mean, Herman, excuse me.
Oh, don't call him that, Johnny Zero. Yeah, goddamn. Yeah.
Fuck that bastard. I don't give a shit. Fuck, I got something for him. Seriously, though, Fred Gwynn has used his powers. Judge, after he knocked out a very good judge, and Judge Phil.
Sure.
And used that power to now be the sergeant. He's now Sergeant Gwynn.
Okay.
And which is in league with the Springer Mafia. I saw Mr. Big out there, and I saw Hitman Danza that side, and I saw, must have been five Dobermans, and they did sick him in there. I don't know if they chewed up on the guys or what happened, but that's just what I saw, man. Whether they just went in there. I mean, these guys are unconscious, so I don't think they'd attack them, you know what I mean? But it's just terrible, man. It's terrible. Who would beat up Grandpa Al Munster and Gomez Adams like that, man?
Obviously, Frederick Wynn.
But why? Why is he wearing boots? He's very Nazi stormtrooper-esque, don't you think? Like, it's like a
condor. Oh, I wouldn't dare say that, sir.
Oh, come on. Look, he's got boots. No, I'm talking about just the pants on his uniform. He's got the baggy pants up top, and then
that's like a state trooper type of thing. I'm not seeing like Nazi paraphernalia.
I didn't say it was literally Nazi paraphernalia. I'm saying, but the baggy pants at the top with the boots that go up to like your knees.
State troopers,
you know what I'm saying?
That's jack boots. That's a thing.
They don't wear baggy pants.
They
at the
did
top.
Back in the day.
All right, well, that's what I'm getting confused with. I don't know. I've never seen them wearing that. Not in my lifetime, I haven't worn them like that. But
I got to tell you, we have one more match tonight.
Yeah.
The Heckler is going to make his return to the squared circle.
Wow.
Facing off against Philip Drummond.
Wow.
What are your thoughts on that, Mr. Johnny Zero?
I think Philip Drummond's been one of the top, Damage Grady's promotion. He's been doing very well.
Now, I got to ask a question about that. Has Haiti become the minor leagues, if you will, for the TV Dads Wrestling Federation?
I don't know if I'd call it minor leagues. I think it was just... It's just different.
Explain that if you
like,
can.
All right, Grady is got his own promotion.
Okay, now, we know that. That part we got.
Yeah. And there's a lot of middleweights to go on down there.
Is there really? So it's a different thing.
Yeah, it is different. And it's in some ways it'd be superior, but it's not as big as the TV Dad Wrestling Federation, if that's what you
mean. No, I know it's not, which is why I would have asked if it was a minor league, because there's a lot of people that are competing there who then wind up coming to our
It could be
division.
A developmental territory, like a place where young guys go to get discovered, old guys get to get rediscovered. You know what I'm saying? Like,
now, I don't understand the business practices in Haiti so much.
Me either.
But I have a question for you.
Yeah, me either.
Is there an opportunity to have a weekly program that could just be based out of like the Shady Grady show?
I'll look into it.
Talent could be there.
Yes.
Like the Duke boys are now prominently featured in TV Dads. They're from that originally, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Well, Luke apparently doesn't want to. Anyway, Luke, it's him and Jax went down. Jax is still in a hospital. The problem with going to Haiti, it's kind of like.
Explain.
The regulations aren't enforced. I mean,
that's true.
You might not be.
Might not come back.
You might not come back. And that's serious. You know, you would get pufferfish dust. Blown in your eyes?
Of course I haven't. I'm part of the Bloody Stash Corporation at this point in my life, so I wouldn't have been subjected to something so beneath my pay grade. I mean, perhaps being a tabloid reporter, that's where you're at.
I
eat caviar, and I have a Cadillac, so that wouldn't be what I do.
The thing about it is, I don't know if Grady is this going to be a regular promotion, or if he's just doing this to use as to get a soapbox for him to speak, and, you know, voices... Pissed offness at it's being pissed off at
his
Fred.
Pissed offness.
Pissed offness. You know what I mean? Being angry at Fred Sanford, Fred G. One Frank.
Well, that's his
Fred
whole beef,
G. Sanford.
Right? Is he felt he didn't have a fair shake here?
No, he didn't. And that was what the feud all down there was about. The pay per view was about. He wanted to go after Mr. Drummond to get the contract. He wanted to. He's trying to make Arnold and Willis believe, you know, that they should come live with him because he is their real genetic father. That's what his claim
according
is.
To what he's saying.
Yes,
like, we don't know. I mean, ironically enough, Phil Drummond's wrestling tonight.
Yeah,
biological father didn't bother. Isn't that something that Shaquille?
I agree. That's why I have so much respect for Phil Drummond. He let the kids make up their own minds. And they're.
He's an old guy, John. I don't know if Phillip's going to be able to hang with the Heckler. The Heckler is angry. He's been barred from wrestling for months upon months.
Yeah, but he hasn't been in the ring either. Drummond has been in the ring.
Now.
Drummond's pissed, man. I'm just saying. I mean, imagine. I'm just saying. Like, I could see. This is Heckler's first match back, right?
That is true. Yeah, they officially, yeah.
I didn't know of any. I haven't seen him wrestle anywhere or do anything. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, maybe Drummond catches him. You know what I mean?
Bear with me a few seconds. We're going to take a quick commercial break, okay? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode number 27 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. Oh, coming to the ring.
Here we go. It's Philip Drummond.
He's jogging in the ring. He looks healthy, John.
He looks great. He's got the sweatsuit on.
Those track pants from the 1980s.
Wow. Oh, shit, he's ripping it out. He's ripping them off. Dude, he's got a six-pack. What the fuck?
He's ripped.
Dude, I mean, for a man his age, yeah, I'm saying.
I'm definitely, like, definitely impressed. I'm not going to lie to you.
Mr. Drummond looks good.
He does look
he's
good.
He's jumping around in the ring. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, hailing from New York City.
Boy, here we go.
Philip Drummond.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, man. He looks, does he look hungry? Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, from parts unknown, the Heckler!
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh, holy shit, dude.
That's a creepy theme song, Johnny.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It is very creepy.
I don't like it. Here he comes to the ring. Look at that flamboyant outfit, sir. He looks majestic.
Well, he looks kind of like a little light in the loafers myself, but yeah, that is a pretty crazy outfit. How's he look, like, in shape-wise for this match? Does he look like he's been kept...
Well, he's got that giant pimp coat on, if you will. Like, it isn't exactly what you'd call, like, a pleasant thing. Like, he's got that giant hat. It's got the feather in it. It's just a weird, creepy situation.
Yeah, it is. It is very creepy.
He gets into the ring. Phillip's ripped. He looks fantastic. They're going to square off. I guess we're getting ready for the match.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Phillip Drummond comes out aggressively. Knocks down the Heckler.
Oh, my goodness. Immediately.
Yeah. He's got him in a headlock.
The Heckler gets out. He slides under the bottom rope, but he's standing there, and he's admonishing Phillip from the outside of the ring.
What's going on with that? Now, what kind of shape does the Heckler look like in you?
Well, not good. Not good. He's thin. He has a drinking problem. We do know that.
Right.
I don't know, Johnny Zero. What are your thoughts on this situation?
Does he have a drinking problem?
He's an alcoholic, yes.
Dick Van Dyke?
Yes, very much so.
Did not know that. Did not know that. All right.
Clearly off the wagon at this point. He's got like a beer belly happening. He takes off the ring.
All right, the referee's backing up Philip Drummond, and he comes up to and looks like Heckler slid back in. He's going to he hits him from the behind the head.
Oh!
Cheap shot.
Poor Philip Drummond.
What a cheap shot. What a bastard. Now he's putting the boots to him.
Oh my goodness. Philip Drummond is bleeding from the mouth almost immediately. Oh. Almost immediately in the squared circle.
Oh my God. Now Philip gets up. He's blocking his hits. Now Phil is fighting back. He doesn't care. I can't believe I've never
seen
Mr. Drummond.
Mr. Drummond's doing well.
He is doing well. Really good, man. When was the last time he was here? Didn't we have him early on?
I mean, he's competed. I don't have a timetable in front of me. I apologize. Well, the records have been weird because remember we had the whole thing with the sprinkler system happen?
Yeah.
So the computers are new. The documents we had. I don't have anything in front of me anymore. So I can't. Like, as announcers, we should read stats.
No, I agree. But I mean, I just don't have them.
There's
so many people trying to get in.
Not even that. Everything was destroyed. At this point, I want to take the time to say God bless the first Bishop of Wrestling.
What
because
the
he
fuck?
Has given us a new computer system and he's given us new microphones.
Your obsession with
and
Mike,
you know, I gotta say,
Mr.
thank
Brady.
You, Mr. Brady, the first Bishop of Wrestling, for allowing us to have equipment to bring the truth to the people about the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Thank you, sir.
Unreal. This guy is unreal. Unbelievable, dude. You shouldn't even be allowed. Dude, man.
The greatest actor that Hollywood has ever seen. He's been in everything. He was in Jaws. He played the shark. You know, he played Jabba the Hutt in Return of the Jedi. It's just amazing stuff. Amazing actor. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Now back to the squared circle. Philip Drummond is trying to hang on, but I'll tell you, the Heckler has got him, pulled him out from under the leg. Philip Drummond's on his back. He's putting him, trying to attempt a figure four leg lock. Philip Drummond kicks the Heckler. He flies outside the ring, and now he's on the floor.
Sends him outside. Looks like this could be a pretty good match.
Drummond's bleeding, though. I mean, he did well.
Right, well, let's see. Maybe he can get him in the beat him best one drum.
The what did you just say?
That's his finish.
Explain that.
The beat of just one drum.
The beat of just one drum. What does that entail,
sir? Well, he goes and he sets you up in the corner and goes up and does the standing 10 count. But after that, he comes out with sort of a reversed running net breaker of sorts.
Okay.
It'd be similar to like Randy Orton or something like that.
Randy Orton. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like a super, like an RKO sort of thing, but he kind of twists it so it's his own. So he didn't.
Now this is interesting.
Yeah.
The heckler is on the ring apron. He climbs to the top rope and he's taunting Philip Drummond to come towards him. What do you think is going to happen here, General?
I think
who jumps off the top rope from there? My goodness.
Oh my God.
Philip Drummond goes and grabs him. It's a press slam. Oh my goodness. Into the into the mat itself.
Oh my God.
The heckler has the wind knocked out of him. Philip Drummond's going to work on the left shoulder. He has locked him up and he's pounding on that left shoulder.
Unbelievable.
He's doing a spin around. Oh, and he drops all of his weight on that arm. My goodness. What is happening in the ring?
Unbelievable. So it looks like Drummond's going to slip him into the Irish whip into the ropes. Standing drop kick. Unbelievable. No, not standing drop. Off the ropes drop kick. And flip over backwards. He's going back to work again. Got him in a chin lock now. He's using some rest holds, but he's not. He's the fans are loving this, man.
He's a different athlete than he was.
He's different than
it's
he was.
It's a different world, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Looks like he's wrapping up for a vertical suplex.
Oh, my goodness.
A vertical souple. A vertical souple with the float over for the pin. Just as a one. Two. Oh, heckler just zoomed out of it. Just got out of it there by a second.
That was close, Johnny Zero.
I don't think Heckler is looking, he's picking him up.
He's out of shape, sir.
Body slams him. Looks like Drummond's going up to the top rope. Could this be
Drummond, he dives off the top rope. The heckler moves. He misses with his knee. Philip Drummond has blown out his right knee. He's laying on the ground writhing in pain, and the heckler is standing there laughing over his opponents.
Oh, no.
This is fantastic. The heckler goes right to work on that leg. He ties it up. He spins around. He drops all of his weight on that. It's a powerful move. Johnny Zero, you look shocked and offended.
Oh, no. It's just, I don't know. His knee, he's already done an MRI. Like, it's,
well, he just jumped off the top rope, and he missed. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with his knee, but a flying knee. Off the top
it hurts.
Would hope that you'd hit the gentleman.
Yeah, right.
Now the heckler's trying for a figure four, and again he gets kicked out of the ring and he falls onto the floor. Philip Drummond trying to recover. He cannot stand, Johnny. He is using the ropes to hold himself up.
Yeah,
that knee
is
injured, sir.
Heckler is going to work. No doubt about it.
Now the heckler's on the floor. He's not in the ring anymore. Philip Drummond is trying to hold himself up. It's a difficult situation, if you will. Johnny, what are your thoughts at this time?
I just feel like
he did go to work. He did a lot of damage to that knee in the few minutes.
Yeah, that's
had.
What I meant to say.
Most definitely.
I just feel like I thought Drummond had it, but I mean, he's got to put this guy away. He can't like.
This is an odd
bottom
situation.
Bottom line, you got to put him away. You got to finish the job. You know
the
I mean?
Heckler is outside the ring, and the 10 count has begun. Why is he not getting back in the ring?
I have no idea.
I don't know what to tell you. Ladies and gentlemen.
What's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, the bell's rung. The heckler's been counted out. The heckler's been counted out of the ring. Philip Drummond is still, he's injured.
Looks like he's gassed.
This is so insane. I don't even understand what's happening among us, sir.
It looks.
And there's the theme music. Your winner by count out, Philip Drummond, the millionaire.
Looks like a. Arnold and Willis are waiting at the back ramp there, congratulating him.
Now.
And he's jogging. It's like Mr. Drummond's been really been working. Must be.
The heckler comes up behind him with a chair and hits him in the back of the head,
no.
Johnny.
Oh, my God.
The pandemonium.
What's
Johnny.
Happening here?
The match is over.
What's happening?
The match is over. Why is this happening exactly?
What's happening? Someone stop
I don't
this.
Understand.
Stop
I
it,
don't
man.
Understand. The heckler beating him. Here comes Arnold. Here comes Willis. No, the heckler's absconding. He has left. He's run away from the children who are picking up their father. This is a sad day indeed. Poor Mr. Drummond got hit in the back of the head with a chair. He already had a bloody mouth. Now he's got a scalp wound.
Yeah, well.
The heckler's a nasty bastard.
Well, he's had some pretty violent. He had those barbed wire matches down there. I mean, he is in. I've
he's
never,
ripped.
He's in
ripped.
Great shape, man.
He did that giant. He took a bump off the top rope onto his knee.
His son's a boxer.
He still ran him. Back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Willis is a boxer.
That's not his son. It's Grady's son. It's no genetics there to speak of.
It doesn't matter. Family isn't always about that. You know what I'm saying? Like his.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, thoughts and prayers. I don't know what you're saying. Say what you mean,
no,
sir.
No, I'm saying Grady. It's never. I mean,
I would like
this
to
proof?
Take this opportunity to again thank the first Bishop of Wrestling.
Oh my
and
God.
And the Bloody Stash Corporation for sponsoring the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast when no one else would. When Mount Facemore wouldn't come through for us. When no one else had our back.
What
the
you...
Bloody Stash crew has the microphones and the equipment. And I'll tell you, it's the fault of
they're
it.
They're doing it because they just make you sell out and promote them all
you,
the time.
What do you mean? No, but sir, when you sponsor a show, that's how that works, sir.
Right, right.
All right, so listen, Johnny Zero, our broadcast is coming to an end.
Okay.
I want to stress to everyone to please call their cable providers
yes.
this week and
guys.
Line up and lock in so you can see the first ever TV Dads Memorial Crockett Cup tournament with a $1 million
yes.
prize.
And it, guys, don't make the mistake of missing this. This is going to be something for the ages.
There's going to be a special person on hand to represent the check. We have theories as to who it could be.
Yep. And the cup itself.
I believe it's the first Bishop of Wrestling. Johnny Zero thinks it's a little old man. I couldn't tell you.
I think it's Ross Perot.
I don't really know. But it's next week, and what you have to do is you got to call your cable provider, and you got to say, cable provider, I want to see the TV Dads Memorial Cup tournament.
Exactly.
And that's where we're at. We're going to have that next week, 1 week from tonight. And we're so excited, Johnny.
As
always, we're going to have our wrap-up show directly after it in the squared circle. We already have the press passes. We're going to go back over this. And I want to stress again, this is very important. There will be a new television heavyweight champion crowned in that tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the technical.
I can't wait, man.
That's your main event, sir.
Yeah.
So again, this is VexX along with Johnny Zero.
People Zero. Guys, take care, man.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the Podbean application on your phone. We are on the Loud and Loaded Network, and this is the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast.
You can find us on Google, too. You can just Google it.
Telling you to stay frosty.